The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Joining us on the line now is the one and only Owen Corry, who is keeping the nation informed and entertained in relation to the misery that is the IALPA dispute with Aer Lingus. This morning, it's going to the Labour Court for a second attempt to try and find a resolution. Of course, there has been, nearly 400 flights cancelled. And this is peak season. The primary schools finished up last Wednesday, Thursday. It couldn't be calculated to impact with more disruption than it's been done. Good morning, Owen.
Good morning to the one and only Ivan Yates.
Indeed. What are you expecting this morning?
Not much. The talks will get underway. There'll be quite a bit of throwing shapes. The history of this, we're obviously outside the room looking in. The history of this is that nothing happens, negotiations, and then everything happens very suddenly in a 20-minute period at 4 o'clock in the morning. The difficulty here is what we saw over the weekend was a little bit of, squaring up, looking at what the opposition are capable of. Aer Lingus proved on Saturday morning they're capable of flying through a one-day strike with not a lot of disruption, not great if you're one of the passengers whose flight has been cancelled. But they protected their transatlantics. They transatlantic flights into a shorter period with the cooperation of the airport, got everyone through security. And here's the crunch. They got their transfer passengers coming into Dublin and flying on to America, or flying in from America and flying on from Dublin. They got them through. So from Aer Lingus's point of view, they were tested. They got through the disruption. IALPA had a great show of force, very good optics over the weekend, and again have been realigning their public message. Their pay of pilots is incredibly high. The top 20% are looking for an increase of €49,000 a year, which is more than the annual salary of some of the people whose holidays they're disrupting. And they're pressing on two fronts. They're saying Aer Lingus management got a big increase. We deserve that. And we're catching up with inflation. We're not looking for anything exorbitant. So it's all squaring up for this great big public messaging around what happens inside the room. And you know more than anyone else, Ivan, what happens inside the room we may never know, but there has to be a deal at the end of the day.
So we'll come to the sort of substance of the dispute, but I'm reading here 390 flights have been officially cancelled up to this day next week, including 120 from the 8-hour work stoppage on Saturday. So you made it sound like they got through it. If I was booked on one of those flights, what were my options? Did I just have to cancel my travel plan?
No, people have changed their travel plan, and you've got to differentiate between the two forms of industrial action. The work to rule isn't industrial action at all. It's basically Aer Lingus cancelling flights preemptively and reallocating other flights or diversions to those passengers. Very disruptive, but it's a disruptive at a level of about 10 flights a day. That sort of thing happens, weather events in summer. There was an air traffic control systems failure in Maastricht on Friday that caused the cancellation of 60 Ryanair flights, not all of them from Ireland, I think only the Dublin-Berlin. But that's the level of disruption that airlines cope with. 10 flights a day they can do. The big one, the second type of action, the important one, was the one-day stoppage on Saturday. That's what IALPA were threatening to do again on Friday for the coming Saturday in series of one-day stoppages when FORSA dissuaded them from doing so.
So just explain to me, so say I had a flight booked between the hours of the 8-hour dispute on Saturday from 5 a.m. to 1 p.m. I thought 17,000 people were discommoded. No, that didn't happen.
Oh, absolutely, it did happen, but they were reallocated flights. The 8-hour stoppage meant that Aer Lingus shifted flights from outside that period. and rebook passengers wherever they could. They used alternative carriers. We had grumpy passengers who were supposed to be on a nice Aer Lingus A330 that were on an alternative carrier with no seat back video. Try that with four small children. There was serious disruption of the passengers. What was, I think we're talking about scales here, the level of disruption that it could have been and would have been probably even a couple of years ago was higher than what Aer Lingus experienced on Saturday. Whether they can cope with another one-day stoppage and get through it or a series of them, that's going to be much more difficult for the airline. And it's already difficult for the airline to reallocate the 10 okay. cancelled flights. A good example there, the EI-104 is the flagship flight. You've been on it yourself from New York. It's the EI-104 inbound and 105 outbound. And that is that's been cancelled all week as part of the work to rule.
Okay, so let's get to the substance of the dispute. My understanding is that these pay talks have been going on for a few years, that the rest of the staff in Aer Lingus have settled on 12.25% and the 700 plus pilots are holding out for double that, 24%. Aer Lingus is part of the IAG group and quite a small part of that group, and they don't want a kind of rope ladder effect on their others. They're not going to agree unless there's radical reform of productivity. Surely IALPA can't win this.
It's going to be pay for productivity. IALPA are saying it's not. Aer Lingus are saying we're not giving any more money until productivity comes into play. There is the crewing agreement from 2019, which probably within IAG and probably within Aer Lingus, they're saying Aer Lingus probably conceded too much. There are the 2019 to 2023 incremental pay talks that IALPA negotiated. There's been a change of leadership in IALPA. The new leadership says that that was not robust enough in the face of Aer Lingus. So, you know, danger here, or a worrying factor here, that it doesn't look very hopeful going in. It doesn't look hopeless, but we're relying really on the skill and the experience of the negotiating teams. And IALPA have had a complete change of the leadership in the new president. Would have been, it's quite well known that he's quite critical of the previous president for not being tough enough at Aer Lingus over the years. You need an awful lot of experience to get into a cockpit of an aircraft in a major airline, something like 1,500 flying hours. It's a pity we don't have more experienced negotiators in the room, because it's the passengers who are suffering from the other side.
How much will it cost? Because this is a matter in dispute. The pilot said it'll cost sort of north of 5 million, whereas the company says it'll cost 45 million to accede to IALPA's demands. Where's the truth in this?
Very hard to tell. And I'll tell you why, Ivan. There are 26 different pay grades. There's a Rubik's Cube of complicated allowances. That actually is a source of hope, because there's an awful lot to talk about when they actually get talking face to face. And we're a long way off that still. But my experience of Aer Lingus is that when they put out a figure, they don't tend to put out the take-home pay. They take the cost of the overhaul package. They put pensions and allowances and all of those sort of things into the figure. When IALPA put out the figure, they take out the very lowest figure that they can extract. It's what you expect in the Tweedledee, Tweedledum, the cut and thrust of industrial relations by megaphone, which we've seen over the last few days. What is more interesting or more relevant in terms of the cost is Aer Lingus' expansion plans. They were to hire something like 40 new pilots this year for their expansion plans. They have three new routes that they wanted to expand into North America next year. So they're looking at the hiring of pilots for this growth. Obviously, transatlantic pilots, you need three in a cockpit, not two. It's an expensive business. And they say some of those routes will not be viable. A little bit worrying. Also, Ivan, we had a new aircraft, a new transatlantic aircraft painted in the Aer Lingus colours, that has now been repainted in the Iberia colours and will start on Barajas to Boston next October instead of the Aer Lingus route it was supposed to serve. From where they're looking in IAG, and Aer Lingus is effectively a Spanish airline now, the real danger, or one of the dangers here, and we can overstate it as well, because the talks process could all get solved in a week or two, but the investment that was supposed to be coming into Aer Lingus, and the whole reason that everybody was happy to see Aer Lingus joining a large airline group rather than trying to continue as standalone, that investment is going elsewhere. It looks like it's going elsewhere at the moment. Two aircraft, two of the new beautiful new A321 XLRs going to Iberia instead. And it could be that this dispute will mean that Aer Lingus will be changed within the IAG group, where they're a small player, as you pointed out, from being something that was seen as worthy of investment and growth and the development of Dublin as a hub and all those new direct point-to-point routes you'd never have got in the past, like Minneapolis and Seattle and Hartford, Connecticut, that instead of growing, it'll just be, you know, parked.
Put in a backwater. Finally then, okay, so say there's two options. It's a binary choice. Talks go well and they proceed to a settlement, or they break down again. Is there a prospect, if Aer Lingus are able to manage the work to rule and keep the show on the road, that there would actually be an all-out strike?
Yes. If the work to rule isn't having enough impact, IALPA will up the ante. But they can't up the ante while they're in the Labour Court. That's Force's argument last Friday. The problem is, will we see a rapid collapse of talks and an escalation? Because my read of it, and it's very hard to tell, you know, when people are grandstanding, it's very hard to tell what the real mood in IALPA is, but their support, the votes of support for their executive would do Hoxha's Albania proud. They're up 97-98%. I do feel there's a mood of militancy in IALPA. The key to anybody, the Labour Court people and the Force of people in the talks, is to prevent a deliberate collapse of the scrum, a deliberate collapse of the talks, so that the action can be escalated. Because IALPA clearly feel, by putting more pressure on their passengers, more pressure on Aer Lingus, they can get a better deal.
Owen Curry, editor of Air and Travel magazine and all-knowing on all matters such as aviation and holidays, thank you for joining us on the show. Now it's time for this.
News Talk's Summer Cash Machine. The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.